Yeah, we got to get right to the podcast, gang, because it's a big one today. Big one. We go over the Wednesday night special that you can find on Blaze TV now. Last night, did a special on China that is a don't miss. We have Peter Schweitzer on. But bigger than that, really, I don't know if you know this, but there is a hole in the sky where a tree once was, and people are making money.
I don't like that. I'll tell you that much.
Well, I tell you, you're going to love the song from the Seattle City Council, all on today's podcast.
And don't forget to subscribe to Stu Does America on your podcast app right now. Go over there and subscribe. I will tell you this. We're only like 4 or 5 slots behind Michael Moore's podcast. And it would make me very happy if we destroyed him. So, Michael Moore's podcast, hopefully going down today. Go over and subscribe to Stu Does America. Now here's the podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
I want to share something that I just think is beautiful. And being from the Seattle area, I can't tell you what's happening to Seattle. Just, it couldn't happen to a nicer group of people, you know, than the people that are running Seattle. And I just, my heart goes out to them, because the city council and all the mayor and everybody involved in the city government there are just beautiful, special spirits. And the way the spirit manifests itself in them, I celebrate. And a couple of days ago, the city council had a meeting, and some of these beautiful people and their beautiful spirits showed up with a beautiful, beautiful song.
You're kind of scary disease talk to start the show. Maybe a little.
Yeah,
music
well, I just would... thought I thought this would brighten everybody's day.
OK,
because there are some people who are just, you know. Sure, they're hardworking, but they've taken time out of their day to write the words, then write the music, then practice it, then go to City Hall and sing it.
Ooh.
And try to get everybody else involved. And I want to play this because it's surprisingly catchy. Here it is.
There's an unwelcome sight in the neighborhood. A developer is being greedy. There's a hole in the sky where a tree once stood.
All right.
Such a lack of life and sound. All that's left is bare, muddy ground. A magnificent tree was murdered. The mighty dollar cut it down. There's a hole in the sky where the tree once was. Somebody's making money. Stand up. Somebody's making money. Laws protect exceptional trees, but the city grants exemptions to these. Instead, they reward the developer's greed and sanction the murderer's deeds.
There's a hole in the sky where the tree once was. Somebody's making money.
Come on, everybody.
There's a hole in the sky where the tree once was. Somebody's making money.
No more leaves shimmering with golden light. Ooh. No more gentle shedding of rains.
Oh, no.
Nor tulip blossoms rustling in the wind. Now nothing remains.
Oh,
that hole in the ground
where the tree once was.
Somebody's making money.
Come on.
There's a hole in the sky where the tree once was.
Somebody's making money.
There's a hole in the sky in the sky. Yeah. Instead of a spreading canopy.
Ooh.
There's a hole in the sky. Instead of a 90-year-old tree. There's a hole in the sky in the sky. That tree did not belong to you or me.
No.
There's a hole in the sky where the tree should be.
Wow. It was like a Broadway production. Now...
That was.
I defy you. Mm-hmm. I defy you now. You've only heard it once. Mm-hmm. I defy you to try all day to not sing There's a hole in the sky where the tree once was. Somebody's making money. Now, that's somebody sent this to me. Okay, somebody sent this to me this morning.
It's already in my head.
I know. And I can't get it out of my head. Mm-hmm. And so it was my duty to pass it on to you today so it won't get out of your head. Your job is to pass it on to somebody else. Now, when I did this about 40 minutes ago, I didn't realize how catchy it really was for everyone. And I knew people were putting it together for the radio program, et cetera, et cetera. And I just came into the studios just a few minutes ago, and I was in the think tank where the writers were. I was in the production room where the producers were. And I just said, there's a hole in the sky where the tree once was. Come on! And everybody said, it's somebody's making money.
Wait, so I have several questions here.
Yeah, okay. Seattle, you're doomed.
So there's a hole in the sky.
In the sky. Where the tree once was.
Why was the tree in the sky?
They plant them in the sky. They plant them in the sky in Seattle.
Is that really... Because it does seem like that's what she's advocating for.
I don't know. There should be... There's a hole in the ground where the tree once was.
Or there's a stump that wasn't here. There were branches up there. When I looked at the sky, I saw branches, and they're not there anymore.
Well, she kind of infers that when she says about the beautiful canopy that's missing now.
Mm-hmm.
And there won't be there won't be gentle rains now.
But like cutting down a tree doesn't change the sky in any way.
Right.
Like you could see the sky more clearly if we cut the trees down.
Uh-huh.
That would actually give us more access to the sky, not less.
Right. Right.
So I don't understand that. I will also point out, watching the video.
Oh, it's great, isn't it?
It's really good.
I'm posting this at glenbeck.com, and I've already retweeted it today.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so go watch it.
Go watch it.
You're going to be stunned to hear, if you're listening on the radio, that there's a person behind her dressed as a tree.
Right.
And
a green leotard with a leaf hat. Leaves on it.
Yes.
Leaves, and it's... It's beautiful.
It's a stunning development because you'd think they're probably dressed in suits, but no.
No.
And then there's like, they look like people who would be in the theater. And then there's just this one guy in a Seahawks shirt.
Right.
Like, I just not seem at all like he should be there.
Yeah.
It's a very
weird
look.
I'm not sure
if
they look like people that should be in the theater. They look like aged hippies.
Yeah, but that's who I would picture to be in the theater.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, in Seattle, you're probably right. You're probably right.
Is that the place where there's a hole in the sky where a tree once was?
Yeah, and somebody's making money.
I like how, too, they seem to get on city council for actually exempting certain trees.
Right.
Like, they're upset because some of the verse...
play it again. Okay, I think it's worth playing again.
Let's analyze this a little bit more closely.
There's an unwelcome sight in the neighborhood.
Uh-oh.
A developer is being greedy. There's a hole in the sky where a tree once stood.
Now she waits for the music to start.
And she gets her phone out here and starts playing the piano.
Such a lack of life and sound. All that's left is bare, muddy ground. A magnificent tree was murdered.
Now she's starting to get...
The mighty dollar cut it down.
She's starting to get very dramatic.
There's a
here.
Hole in the sky where the tree once was.
I'm pissed.
Somebody's making money.
She's very pissed out. They're not singing along.
She really is.
Where the tree once was. Somebody's making money.
And people stand.
Laws protect exceptional trees.
See?
But the city grants exemptions to these. Instead, they reward the developer's greed and sanction the murderer's deeds.
Stop.
I said that. Okay, now I understand the policy, I think. She's saying that the law is exceptional trees shall be protected. However, the city is saying, no, we're going to give the developers exemptions to cut those exceptional trees down. I believe that's her case.
Well, I think her case would be all trees are exceptional.
Well, no, she says, how can all trees be exceptional? That's like
all people are exceptional.
No, they're not. If they're all exceptional, then none of them are exceptional.
Excuse me, all of the children are exceptional. None are failing. They're emerging.
Mm.
They're emerging. as an exceptional human being. No, dummy, they got an F. They're flunking. Right.
That's like
no, they're emerging. That's the new language now.
That's the sort of woke thing you say about, like, they have those songs where it's like, you're perfect everywhere you are. Everyone is perfect. Well, if everyone is perfect, no one's perfect. What's the meaning of perfect if everyone's perfect?
Word games. All I care about is...
You're beautiful the way you are, Lizzo. No, you're not.
There's a hole in the sky where a tree once was. Somebody's making money. And that's going to be us right now as I read...
Off a tree!
Off of a piece of paper made by a tree.
Because at one point...
Oh, I'm so sad about this paper. No, I'm not. Ooh. Phone producers, please take anybody from Seattle. Please get them on the phone. I see somebody from Everett, Washington. That's the city I was born in. Mm. My grandfather said, you know, son... And I'm like, I'm not your son. And he said, well, that's another talk for another conversation. And I was like, wait, what? And he said, the people that are too damn weird for California are going to move up here. And they're going to take over the city. And they're going to wreck it. And I'm like, yeah, okay, Grandpa, time for another pill. Wow. There's a hole in the sky. Where the tree ones. Hey, do we happen to have the Ricky Gervais video as well? Yeah, I want to play this. Now, Ricky Gervais has become my hero. I think he's really, really funny. He's brilliant as a writer, brilliant as an actor. He's got, there's something about Ricky Gervais that he's an empath. I believe he's an empath. And he has this really, I think, great soft heart, but it doesn't always come out that way. He's just great at slamming everything. And a few months ago, what was it he was doing? Was he doing the Emmys where he was just slaughtering the Hollywood elites?
Golden Globes.
Golden
right?
Globes, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was great. Well, he took on Natalie Portman on Twitter yesterday because, you know, at the Oscars, he said... Shut up, all of you, shut up, Oscar night. Don't make stupid speech. Shut up. Most of you have been to school less time than Greta Thunberg, so be quiet. Nobody wants to hear it. Well, Natalie Portman comes, and she had a cape made by, like, Versace or something, and it had all of the names of all of the women directors she thought were better than the male directors that should have been nominated. And so he was, after he stopped doing this, he decided to make a video. And can we play this now, please, Ricky Gervais?
Inspired by the brain of Natalie Portman and her embroidered Oscars dress. I ain't got a dress. So I've written it on my body. All the known Hollywood perverts who haven't been caught yet. He's a groper, but he paid him off. Pedo. He'll stick it anywhere. This is a complete nonce.
Okay. So he's sitting in a bathtub full of water, and he has written names all over his body of all of the perverts that that haven't been caught yet in Hollywood. I just love this guy. Just love him. And I don't know how... He is not an absolute pariah.
It'll happen.
You think so?
Yes. There's a certain... You get this pass for a while, I think, if you're his status. Like, Dave Chappelle's the same way, right? Like, he can get away with this for a while. But if he keeps going down this road and he keeps criticizing the woke side of the argument, eventually I think the woke side
of the argument is about to fall apart.
Dave Rubin makes this point. He's got a book coming out soon. I think it's called... Don't Burn This Book, I believe it's called. It's coming out soon, next month or two. And his point is he believes this is the year. It all falls apart this year. All this woke crap falls apart. I hope he's right. I hope he's right, man. I do.
I think he might be right. I think, you know, I was talking to somebody, maybe the writing team yesterday about all this woke stuff. And I said, is anybody else in this room feeling this? And everybody else said, oh, well, I hope so. But what I'm feeling is even the people on the Democrats, not the crazies, the Democrats are like, OK, this is nuts. I've had enough. I've just had enough. And nobody is going to care anymore. They're just not going to care about that anymore. And I think these guys, we may be the pendulum that we have talked about. That pendulum may be swinging back now earlier than we expected it to. It may be going back towards sanity. Maybe not. But.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and you're listening to the Glenn Beck Program. If you like what you're hearing on this show, make sure you check out Pat Gray Unleashed. It's available wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Stop the music for a second. This is really important. Pat just walked in. I'm not sure if you know this, Pat, but breaking news, really important. Chuck Schumer is asking for an investigation on Donald Trump.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because he thinks that there's something wrong with the AG and this whole Roger Stone thing. And he says it's a big deal. This time they have him. Wow. So I just, did you know that?
Because I can't even imagine it.
Right.
So
you can't imagine
I'm
it.
Shocked.
Another investigation called for by Chuck Schumer on Donald Trump. I had to go ahead. You start the music again. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt the show like this. But, okay. Whew.
But the sheer utter shock warranted it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Everybody has to know that today. All right, welcome to the program, Mr. Pat Gray.
Thank
from
you.
Pat Gray Unleashed. Welcome to it. I'm glad you're here, Pat. And I don't know if you know this, another shocking development, but there's a hole in the sky where a tree once was.
I do know
Somebody's making money.
I've been trying to put my finger on where the... I don't think it's an original tune.
No, don't say it. Don't say they plagiarized that song.
I think they plagiarized the song.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's a... It's a parody? Like they've changed the lyrics of another song?
I think so.
That wouldn't be a parody.
I'm not positive.
Right. Well, that's why I corrected it. Yes, thank you.
The way they do it, it sounds...
It would not be a parody.
I know. I said it would be a parody. Well, they changed the words.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right. Thank you for being clear.
Jeez.
I'm calling Chuck Schumer on you, man. I am so sick of you. There needs to be an investigation.
Yeah, that was egregious. That was egregious.
It was.
Glenn, you're
thank
right.
You. All right. Okay. So what do you think it is?
Is it the Pet Shop Boys opportunities? There's a... I've got the brains. You've got the brawn.
No.
Let's make lots of money.
No.
There's a hole in the sky where the tree used to be. Someone's making money. Is it not opportunity?
It's not far off. It's close.
It's close to opportunity.
It's not the same tune, though.
Is it a Broadway show tune? What is
well,
that?
Well, she's performing like it. Well, in case you don't know what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, this is the music stylings of a group of hippies in Seattle that have decided to sing a song to the Seattle City Council, and it's beautiful, and I want you to hear it.
There's an unwelcome sight in the neighborhood. A developer is being greedy. There's a hole in the sky where a tree once stood.
We're waiting for the music.
She does have music here.
Such a lack of life and sound. All that's left is bare, muddy ground. A magnificent tree was murdered. The mighty dollar cut it down.
Come on.
There's a hole in the sky where the tree once was.
Somebody's making money.
Come on.
There's a hole in the sky where the tree once was.
Somebody's making money.
Stop.
You don't want to.
So good. Laws and the exceptional trees.
I don't want to give this away for free, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is sacred music.
It really does strike me as something from a show, like a play. A musical.
It does.
Boy, I'd love to see that play.
Yeah, right?
But like, you think about how many crappy theaters there are around, even just in Seattle, but all over the country that are doing environmental plays. Like,
especially in Seattle.
It's got to be super common, right? That has to be something.
Can we just... Have you guys mentioned that trees don't grow in the sky?
Yes, we have. Yes.
Thank
okay,
you.
Good, yes. good.
Why
yes.
is it good. In the sky yeah. in the first yeah. place?
There's a know. Hole in the ground where the
right.
tree once was.
Okay.
Right.
Yes.
That works.
That can happen.
Right.
If a tree is coming from the sky, you should shoot it down. It's attacking. It's probably yes. an alien of some sort.
Also, they can't be murdered. They're not sentient beings. I don't know
oh,
if anybody's
my God.
Let them
hold
know
on,
about
hold
that.
On, hold on. I have
yeah,
Gene.
They can be cut down.
I have Gene just outside of Seattle. Go ahead, Gene. Are you there?
Actually, I live on the Pacific Northwest coast.
Oh.
And 3 months out of the year, yeah. it rains gently. Most of the time, it rains really hard.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think that people kind of fell and bonked their heads somehow.
Mm. Right. Well, you're yeah, living on the Pacific
here,
coast, so you're
saws and stuff.
Yeah. Well, you're living with the vampires from
oh,
Twilight.
Crap. I didn't see any recently.
Yeah. Well, you're in a rainforest in Seattle. It's practically a
forest.
Desert now.
Yeah. Forest. Yeah. Forest.
Yeah. yeah.
Forest. Trees. Forest.
Thanks a lot, Gene. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. That's just my comment. Have a great one.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye. I mean, I'm concerned about the trees. I'm concerned about the like. For example, there's one part where the dollar actually cuts the tree down.
Well, let's listen.
You have more?
Go ahead. Yeah, play more, please.
Trees, but the city grants exemptions to these. Instead, they reward the developer's greed and sanction the murderer's deeds. There's a hole Jeez. In the sky where the
Come
tree
on.
Once
Come
was.
Somebody's making money.
There's a hole in the sky where the
tree once was.
Somebody's
making
money. No more leaves shimmering with golden light.
Right.
No more gentle
really
shedding
good.
Of rains.
Wow.
Nor two tulip blossoms rustling in the wind.
No.
Now nothing remains.
Nothing.
But that hole
in the sky where a tree once was. Somebody's making money.
There's a hole in the sky.
It's interesting.
Where
the guy with Seahawks jersey is holding
Somebody's
lyrics. So they, I mean, they've
money.
Done some.
Oh no,
on
they
this.
Worked on this.
Yeah, they handed out lyrics.
Yeah.
That's why.
Instead of a spreading canopy.
So bad.
See, this is why. This is why. That is it.
Instead of a 90-year-old tree.
There's a hole in the sky.
Instead
of the spreading canopy.
To you
so they're looking up and saying,
so,
that
so
is.
Was she under the impression that the sky looked like the top of the tree? Because that's just the tree.
They've shown they're a little mixed up.
She's taking artistic license. Okay. Do you know nothing about art?
Apparently not.
My gosh.
I'm concerned that the dollar bill itself was able to cut down a tree. Because this is a terrible tree, number one. It's
yeah.
obviously like very weak and should be cut down. It's a, just, a, I mean, just from a Darwinian
perspective. If you don't even need a saw, you could cut it
yeah,
down with
a
dollar.
Tree. And also, it's almost like a cannibal situation here.
Yeah.
Because the dollar is, sorry, I mean,
paper.
It's paper.
But it's
and
also
they're
cotton.
Holding paper.
It's
so.
Also cotton. So I thought about this. They're not only cutting down trees, they are stealing cotton. From the cotton plants, which we all know is racist. So the dollar bill is racist because it has cotton, and the Fed has to cut all the trees down to get the paper to mix with the cotton. It is worse than just a hole in the sky because the Fed is making money. I'm just pointing this out.
Man, you know there's 3 trillion trees on this planet? That just, there are more now than there have ever been in the history of this planet?
Yeah, no, there is
3 trillion trees.
And
there are more trees on this planet than stars in the sky.
That's a lot. And we should also
you've
point
counted,
out the...
You've counted?
I've counted.
You've counted.
I've counted.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
There are only 100 billion stars.
Okay.
And there are 3 trillion trees.
Right.
We should also point out that the Trump administration has signed on for the 1 trillion tree pledge.
Yeah.
Where they're going to plant a trillion new
That's
trees
That's how bad
worldwide.
A person he is yes. with the environment.
Mm-hmm. So now we'll have 4 trillion
He's goofy.
Trees.
And they're passing out paper as they're talking about the
yes.
trees dying.
Yes.
You know where that comes from?
Yes. Weyerhaeuser, which is just down the street from the city council house. Thank you so much, Pat Gray from Pat Gray Unleashed, where we get your... podcasts.
You should subscribe to it on YouTube or podcast, as well as the Glenn Beck Program and Stu Does America.
By the way, last night we did our Wednesday night special. I'm going to tell you about it coming up in just a second. And I am going to back up the statement I made at the very beginning of the special last night. Joe Biden and Hunter Biden have sold your children into slavery, sold our country out, and is responsible for selling the Chinese directly into the hands of slave masters. That's quite an amazing statement to make. You better have something to back it up, and I do. Something that is one of the worst things. If anybody has ever said, gee, what is Google doing with China? Wait until I show you what Joe and Hunter Biden did in China, enslaving millions of people. It's grotesque. Coming up in just a second. Somebody's making money. Let me go to Gary, who's driving his truck now. Hello, Gary.
Hello, Mr. Beck. How are you doing, sir?
Good. How are you? Where are you?
I'm outside of Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, great. How's the weather up there?
It's snowing right now.
Oh, nothing better.
Yeah.
Nothing better.
Love the show, but you're killing me with that darn song.
What?
I got it stuck in my head as I was fueling my truck, and I can't get it out. Thanks for nothing.
You will have it there for the entire day. It will not leave your head. And you will...
My goodness.
Trust me, Gary, you're going to have to share that with somebody else. You're going to spread the pain.
Do I need...
It is the coronavirus of music.
Get out of my head.
What? What'd you say, Gary?
Do I need to take some more relief factor to get it out of my head?
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
This sounds like the type of guy who would cut down a tree and create a hole in the sky.
Right. And not even think twice about making money.
No.
Not even think twice about it.
Doesn't care.
Mm-hmm. There's got to be somebody who plays a wicked guitar that is listening right now. Because I'd like to really hear some like real electric guitar licks on this. You know, somebody that can just... Is there anybody within this? I'll audition you. We might put a band together for this.
No. Can I ask you to see which video you'd rate as more bizarre? Because you've got the tree video here.
Yeah.
Let me give you this one. This is from UVA.
Okay.
It's in the student center. Mm-hmm. They just built a brand new multicultural center.
Multicultural.
Which is great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right? That's great. Yeah, multicultural. Yeah, yeah. All the cultures can... Well, most of the cultures can come together, apparently, in the multicultural center.
All right. Okay.
This is a video of someone who stands up. Mm. She happens to be an African-American woman, if I'm identifying her correctly, and I apologize if I'm not.
Right.
Here she is talking about the problems in the multicultural center.
What's your pronouns?
Public service announcement. Excuse me. If y'all didn't know, this is the MSC, and frankly, there's just too many white people in here, and this is a space for people of color. So just be really cognizant of the space that you're taking up, because it does make some of us POCs uncomfortable when we see too many white people in here. It's only been open for 4 days, and frankly, there's the whole university for a lot of y'all to be at, and there's very few spaces for us. So keep that in mind.
This is unfreaking believable.
And people cheer.
And you know what's funny is you see this, and there's lots of empty chairs.
Mm-hmm.
There's empty spaces.
Yeah. Because if you're near a white person, you're just scared of the white person, apparently.
Right, right.
Because they're the oppressor.
Well, the typical white person, you know, they see somebody, and they just judge them based on their skin color, you know.
I mean, that's incredible.
It's incredible.
That she's admitting that. And again,
it's incredible that the school hasn't done anything about it.
Yeah. I go back to the guideline to, because sometimes it's so difficult to understand if what you're saying is racist, as you know.
So what you just said, I could dissect in a million ways.
Exactly.
You're racist.
Thank you. So what do you do if you want to, let's just say this woman decided, you know, was that just racist what I just said?
Uh-huh.
So if you were to say that again and change the colors, that's how it's easy to determine this.
Right.
So for example, if she were to say, well, you know what? There's just too many black people here. This is a space for white people. Would that be racist? Would you think that? I would consider that to be pretty racist.
So I'm going to apply that same standard to her and say she's being racist.
No. You've lived your whole life without any oppression at all.
Right.
You've had everything given to you.
Everything in my
life. Everything in your life given to you.
Because of my skin.
Because of your skin, because of the patriarchy. I know I haven't worked a damn day for anything in my life.
Right. Exactly.
It's
you're white.
Yeah, and capitalism just gave it to me. What capitalism did, and I'm so happy to be able to just finally just be free enough to say this, is it crept around at night in all of the minority neighborhoods. Doesn't matter what minority. Doesn't matter. But crept around in all of the non-white, because there could be like a Swedish minority in the area.
Right.
Not that minority. All color minorities, and it crept in at night. It stole what they had, plus it stole any possible opportunity that they might have.
Thank you for recognizing that.
Then just gave it to me. And I have to tell you, it's good to get that off my chest, because I've been feeling so not guilty about it.
Right.
Ever.
Good.
You know what I mean?
Because
I was under the delusion that I made my own way, you know?
Well, you were also under the delusion that trees didn't grow in the sky.
Well, there is a hole in the sky
where the tree once was, and now
somebody's making money.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and if you like what you hear on the program, you should check out Pat Gray Unleashed. His podcast is available wherever you download your favorite podcast. Hi, it's Glenn. If you're a subscriber to the podcast, can you do us a favor and rate us on iTunes? If you're not a subscriber, become one today and listen on your own time. You can subscribe on iTunes. Thanks. Peter Schweizer, who is a good friend of the program, a great journalist, a great writer, investigative journalist, and has done so much work on corruption. And you have kind of a busy day here at the studios. I know you're
on the side to be here.
You're making the rounds, and I've got stuff to do with you later on today. But I wanted to bring you in because yesterday I talked about one of the investment problems of Hunter Biden. It's Face Plus Plus. Are you aware of this?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
So Face Plus Plus is the tool, or at least a very important tool, that the Chinese are using to round up their people. It's specifically the Uyghurs. They now have 1,300 re-education camps. And Face Plus Plus is something that Hunter Biden is making money on and invested in. It is one of the most grotesque things I've ever seen. I mean, we've worried about Google and Facebook. What are they doing? They're selling their souls to the Chinese. No, no. Hunter Biden is pouring money into this company to help them round up Uyghurs.
Yeah. No, it's the thing I think that gets lost in all of this, Glenn, and you're talking about it right now, and this is so important, is people think of the Biden stuff totally in terms of money. You know, Hunter's getting all this money. Well, the Chinese struck this deal with Hunter Biden for a reason. They formed Bohai Harvest RST, put him on the board, made his business partner vice chairman of that company for a reason. The Biden was getting his money, but they wanted to fuse members of the Biden family to the Chinese state to bond them commercially. And why did they want that? Because they're going to be engaging in very sensitive commercial transactions. The one you just talked about, Face Plus Plus, is part of that. Bohai Harvest RST, the investment firm Hunter Biden on the board of directors, his business partner, the vice chairman of, is an investor in Face Plus Plus. They make Face Plus Plus run. That same firm also bought into Hennigus, which is an American high technology firm that creates dual use technologies. These are technologies that have both civilian and military application. The deal actually had to be approved by CFIUS, the federal government's committee. The same company that we're talking about, Hunter Biden's firm, Bohai Harvest RST, was an early investor in CGN, China General Nuclear, a atomic power company in China that after his firm invests in it, that company gets charged by our FBI for stealing nuclear secrets in the United States.
And he does not pull the investment back.
No.
He doesn't get off of the board.
No.
He does nothing.
No.
He does nothing.
No.
They're taking nuclear secrets from us.
Right.
When you talked about, what is it? Hennigus.
Hennigus. Yes.
This organization, Hunter Biden, spearheads this deal where he buys, what is it, 51%, the Chinese buy 50 or 49%.
Right.
And that way they have access to all of the technology. This is after the Chinese stole our stealth technology.
Right.
He knew about it.
Right.
And he's helping them do it again because one of the things that this company does is anti-vibration.
Exactly.
Which is instrumental in stealth aircraft.
Yes.
And they couldn't reproduce it.
Yes.
So no. He just helps them come over and buys the company.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, that's the underbelly of all of this. It's not just about the family getting rich because Joe Biden is vice president. We all know if your last name is Bush or Biden in Washington, D.C., you're going to have certain advantages in life. We mm-hmm. all get that. Mm-hmm. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a prominent political family in the United States, one of the leading families, fusing themselves to the Chinese state. This is not a Chinese company or an American company. This is the Chinese government. So the Hennigus deal we're talking about, 51% of the financing of that deal is done by Bohai Harvest RST, which is Hunter Biden's firm. The other 49% is by the Chinese avionics company, which is China's largest military contractor, as you point out.
AVIC,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. They're the ones that stole the stealth technology. They're the ones that are trying to challenge American air superiority. And the son of the vice president, the sitting vice president at the time, is actually helping them buy into these companies. They're also involved, by the way, in Hunter Biden's firm, in buying a copper company that produces molybdenum, which is a key ingredient in hardening armor. It's a very difficult mineral to find in large quantities. Well, one of the largest is in Africa, and there's this global competition between the United States and China to acquire these mines. Barack Obama himself talked about the fact that we needed to beat the Chinese in producing molybdenum. Now, so what happens? What does Hunter Biden's company do? They helped the Chinese buy one of the largest copper mines in the world, along with a Chinese company called China Molybdenum, which is going to be acquiring the mineral we are competing with them to acquire.
So
it's stunning.
So this is so far beyond what was happening in Ukraine.
Yes.
And I know that Grassley, as we talked about on the special we did last night, and you can watch it on Blaze TV, it is just under right now. I think it's just under Glenn Beck TV. It was last night, February 12th, and it is stunning to see the undermining of our country by a guy whose dad was the vice president at the time most of this happened. The Face Plus Plus, I think, happened after because Hunter is like, my dad wasn't vice president then. Oh, so we're okay enslaving people.
Exactly.
I mean, it's nuts.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
And here's the challenge, Glenn, that they're going to have. The challenge they're going to have is, and I think one of the reasons a lot of people on Capitol Hill want to stick to Ukraine and they don't want to talk about China is, you've got other prominent people in Washington who have deals with the Chinese as well. So they don't want to go there. Mitch McConnell being one of them. You and I have talked about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the reality, does Mitch McConnell really want to have a national conversation about the Biden family and their ties to the Chinese military when his family has strong commercial ties to the Chinese shipbuilding industry, which is, of course, one of the largest military contractors as well? It's an awkward conversation. And a lot of people in Washington, D.C. have convinced themselves that by doing commerce with China, well, you know, they're going to make them kind of more like us. This is what they said during the Cold War about the Soviet Union. It's a lie. And they don't want to discuss this. They'll talk about Ukraine, but they don't want to talk about China because you now start bringing other things to light involving other powerful people.
So is McConnell as bad as, I mean, Biden's deals are with Costco, not Costco, but Costco,
yeah,
which is basically an arm of the Chinese Navy.
Right.
I mean, he has nuclear secrets,
yes,
stealth technology.
Yeah.
He's involved in the Navy. He's involved in capturing and monitoring and enslaving. We don't even know how many people now in 1,300 re-education camps.
Right.
Is the McConnell stuff that deep and that bad too?
It's not as deep in the sense of you know, the technologies. But here's the thing, you know, Mitch McConnell's wife, Elaine Chao, her family had a shipping business, beginning in the late 1980s. In the 1990s, the Chinese government basically came to Elaine Chao's family and said, look, we'll strike a bargain with you. We will build big ships for you to ship goods around the world. We will finance the construction of those ships. We will provide the crews for those ships, and we'll provide you contracts so you can make a lot of money shipping goods for Chinese state-owned enterprises. And this deal was struck in 1994 after then Senator Mitch McConnell and his wife Elaine Chao visited Beijing with her father-in-law, James Chao, who had formed the company. So it doesn't have the same military implication, but here's the problem. Anybody in the shipping business will tell you that if the Chinese decided tomorrow,
yeah,
we no longer want to do business with the Chows, their financial fortunes would be gone overnight. So he's vulnerable. And by the way, these Chinese companies he's dealing with are Chinese maritime military contractors. James Chao, his father-in-law, and Mitch McConnell's sister-in-law actually served on the board of directors of a military contracting firm in China that was building ships to challenge the U.S. Navy. So a lot of things here that people on both sides of the aisle don't want to come out.
So we have, you know, last night, as we were concentrating on Biden, and we will take on Mitch McConnell and anybody else as well. But as we were concentrating on that, we had audio of Mitch saying on the campaign trail, China's not a threat. You know, they're going to be fine. They can barely figure out their own map. I mean, really,
yeah,
you know, crazy stuff. And we just went through some stats because I'm going to do a Wednesday night special in the coming weeks on China being a real threat. You have to remember, China 2025 has been a plan of theirs for, will be 25 years. And it was for global domination. And people don't understand in America, China employs an army of 180,000 cyber spies that launch 90,000 attacks per year on our Defense Department computer networks. That's all they do, is just try to hack into our Defense Department computer. 41% of all cyber attacks in the world originate in China. The FBI has 1,000 active investigations into Chinese intellectual property theft of U.S. companies. Chinese IP theft cost our economy $50 billion a year. 54% of all Chinese espionage activities against the U.S. are focused on military technology. Since 2009, there have been 106 cases of Chinese espionage against the U.S. that were caught by law enforcement, and those are the cases we know about. There is an estimated 150,000 Chinese operatives currently working in the U.S. targeting our military, government, and private sector. That does not include the 360,000 Chinese university students in the U.S., some of whom have already been caught stealing technology and research for the Chinese government. They are a serious, serious threat.
Absolutely. They view themselves as a rival to the United States. You think of the Chinese Navy, for example. So, again, you know, you've got Mitch McConnell's family, business partners with the Chinese Navy, the PLAN, as it's called. Their stated goal as a military is by 2030 to surpass the U.S. Navy to achieve superiority of the world's oceans. So if you're doing business with somebody like that, You really have to wonder, what are your priorities? You're making a quick buck now, but you are basically helping our chief enemy. And you, as the Senate Majority Leader, for example, or as Vice President of the United States, in the case of Joe Biden, you were supposed to be establishing the strategy that's going to counteract your business partners.
Right.
That's what you call a conflict of interest, I think.
Peter Schweizer, who is the author of several books, the latest book, I'm sorry, I can't remember, is called
Profiles in Corruption.
It's great. And it looks at the corruption of all of the people who have been running in the Democratic Party. He's going to be on my Friday exclusive on Blaze TV only. We're going to be talking about Elizabeth Warren. We're going to be talking about... what's his name? Bernie Sanders. I mean, people don't understand. This communist knows how to make money. So thank you very much, Peter. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Glenn.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Bill Whittle is an author, public speaker, provided political commentary for Fox News, National Review Online, National Rifle Association. I mean, the guy does not have a career. He could have a career. He could have a really big career if he were a liberal. Everyone would know who Bill Whittle is. You probably do. He is really, really very, very smart, very effective, and the host of a podcast series. He did the Apollo 11 What We Saw podcast series. He's back with season two. It is already number 5 on iTunes. It's called The Cold War, What We Saw. It's a 10-part series. It's really good, very well produced. Welcome to the program, Bill Whittle.
Hey, Glenn, it's great to be here. I just heard your introduction, you know, and I realized if you ever need proof there's a loving God, then Nancy Pelosi and Schumer will be sitting on a mountaintop. That asteroid will come in and it'll miss. Then you'll know.
Bill, first of all, congratulations on Apollo 11. I don't think I've talked to you since the success of that. Now you're back with a second series. This is a 10-episode series, and I listened to the first episode. It's highly produced, really well researched. It's what we saw, but it should be what we heard, because you have found all of the audio clips from the Cold War and put them all together in such a way to where somebody who didn't live through it can really understand it and feel it.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there was just so much history there, Glenn, that we had to make it 12 parts. I just couldn't get that many sardines into the can. When you're talking about a conflict that took 42 years, there's so much history there. But the one thing I was determined to do from the beginning was something I just haven't seen ever in terms of the Cold War, and that was to talk about the moral dimensions of that conflict. Everybody talks about it like it was kind of Coke versus Pepsi, you know, red team, blue team, these two opposing forces. But no one ever really gets down to the fundamental, unbelievable chasm in morality between the two sides.
So go into that. Explain that a bit.
Sure. Well, probably the pithiest way to put it is, on one day, Joseph Stalin signed over 4,000 death warrants personally. And on one day, Eisenhower once got so mad that he threw a golf club in a tournament. If you think that these two things are the same, if you think that these are equivalent leaders with equivalent tempers and equivalent, black marks on their record, you've got a serious, serious, serious emotional problem.
But people do. I mean, we're dealing with this now with China. I just did a special last night on China with Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden invested in Face Plus Plus, which is a software app developed by the Chinese government. He invested in it, and what it does is it helps them track down all of the Uyghurs and all of the people that are dissidents there. And since this app is out, 1,300 concentration camps have been built. And yep. He's helping enslave these people.
people like you and me and our listeners, you know, we simply can't believe that that kind of thing could be true. But you have to just step back and realize that the people who we're dealing with, political power is not just their, it's not just their religion or their God. It's their hobby. It's their pastime. It's everything to them. And there is nothing that they won't do for power. And when I was trying to deal with this history in terms, and, you know, we had Republican presidents, Democratic presidents, when it came right down to it, Glenn, the only way I could see to divide the two sides was to say it was the individualists versus the collectivists.
Exactly, and right.
And the collectivists have this view that the state is the only thing that's worth protecting, and any number of sacrifices for the state is fine. And they refuse to look at 1,300 people or whatever the number is as people. It's just a number. It's that many gears that failed on the machine, and they simply have to be replaced. And those are individual people, and they're priceless, and they're unique, and their loss is as dear to the people next to them as is the loss of, you know, Hunter Biden to whoever particularly loves Hunter Biden. Now, that's a short list, but nevertheless, there you go. One of the things that struck me the most about this is there's a Solzhenitsyn referred to the Gulag system as the Gulag Archipelago. There's 400-plus little camps scattered around the biggest country in the world. And one of them was Colima. And Colima was not a death camp like the Nazis had. It was a work camp. But the problem is, it's a work camp where your life expectancy was about a year. And if you were working in the gold mines, it was 4 months.
Wow.
So 800,000 people died at Colima. 800,000. That puts it probably second or third on the leaderboard from hell after Auschwitz and Treblinka. And no one has ever heard of it. Ever.
I've never heard of it.
There were no pictures. Yeah.
So
it's astonishing.
Why 4 months in the gold mines? What was life like there?
Well, for one thing, in Colima, it's one of the places where, by sheer coincidence, the Fahrenheit and the centigrade scales actually match. The same thermometer reading on Fahrenheit and centigrade occurs at 40 degrees below zero. So you've got people who for the most part, were musicians, scientists, just people who happen to have an opinion. Maybe somebody, you know, woke up and mumbled something that they shouldn't have mumbled, and somebody wanted that guy's apartment or his wife, and now he's out there breaking rocks at 40 degrees below zero.
Jeez.
One of the most heartbreaking stories, and one of the things I try to do in this series, is to get to the human, like the human side of it, you know, and there is a tremendous book called Colima Stories, and the one that never left me was this one intellectual was out there. He'd been working all day in the mines. They came to pick him up after he got back in at the end of the day, and they were taking him out to shoot him, and he knew he was being taken out to be shot. And the last thing he said was, if I'd known they were taking me out to shoot me today, I wouldn't have gone out to work. I wouldn't have gone out there and spent the last 8 hours in agony. And this is the place that Bernie Sanders says, this land is your land, this land is my land. You know, it beggars imagination.
So let me play something here for you, Bill, and just get your reaction to this. Let me play the audio of Bernie Sanders on all of the things that he has said about communist countries in the past. He loves them. Listen to this.
You know, it's funny. Sometimes American journalists talk about how bad a country is because people are lining up for food. That's a good thing. In other countries, people don't line up for food. The rich get the food and the poor starve to death. You know, as a socialist, the word socialism does not frighten me. I think when we were in Moscow, for example, I think most of the people here also were extremely impressed by their public transportation system. The stations themselves were absolutely beautiful, including many works of art, chandeliers that were beautiful. It was a very, very effective system. Also, I was impressed by the youth programs that they have, their palaces of culture for the young people, a whole variety of young of programs for young people, and cultural programs which go far beyond what we do in this country.
To China and its leadership, is if I'm not mistaken, they have made more progress in addressing extreme poverty than any country in the history of civilization. Okay, so they've done a lot of things for their people.
But I remember, for some reason or other, being very excited when Fidel Castro made the revolution in Cuba. I was a kid, and I remember reading that
and it was just seemed right and appropriate that poor people were rising up against rather ugly rich people.
You stop. There's more. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Bill.
I'd love to take almost every one of them. First of all, it's hard to believe that this guy's a serious candidate in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. There's so much raw ignorance and just sheer duplicity there. So let's just pick a couple for the sake of it. He talks about Fidel Castro and the common people rising up, you know, and Fidel's a man of the people, and he wears his fatigues and stuff. Glenn, when Fidel Castro died, you know how much money he had in his personal bank account, his personal account?
No.
$900 million.
Jeez.
It's a con game. You know, Hugo Chavez brings socialism to Venezuela. You know how much money his daughter's worth?
No.
$4.5 billion. Her country is starving. People are eating their own pets, and she's worth $4,500 million. And this guy who's talking about socialism and poor people owns three houses. And if you can't see through that, there's something wrong with you. But let's just take the poor people thing. You know, when he says that the lines are great because everybody gets to starve together, and how much they've done for poor people. You really have to step back and look at this for a second. The United States of America is the first country in the history of the world where the primary health concern of poor people is they're too fat. Now, you just think about that for a second. Just think about that. That is what the United States does in terms of prosperity. And when guys like this talk about chandeliers in metro stations that are spotless, one of the reasons they're spotless is because millions of people in Moscow had been taken out and shot. And for Bernie, this is a bonus. Yeah, it's true that, you know, my mom and my uncle were taken out in the middle of the night and killed, and my daughter died in a work camp. But you should see the chandeliers on our metro stations, Glenn.
It's remarkable. So who's watching this or who's listening to your podcast? Are you breaking through, do you think, to the people who did not grow up at the time that you and I did? We know these things.
Well, it's we just been just released episode 2 last week. Right now it's number 5 on Apple altogether, and it's number 1 in history. So that's really
that's
good. Those are good numbers. But if to the degree that that's a success, is only because I just wanted to take a look at this enormous big history and not tell it as a history. Just tell it as a series of personal stories that people can relate to. And to be, you know, to be fair, the Russian people suffered under communism and socialism more than we did. There are incredible stories of heroism and just horrors inflicted on the Russian people by these socialists. But the one thing you'll notice about the socialists and who talk about all this equality, Glenn, is that they never go back to their original jobs. You know, Lenin didn't go back to being a failed writer, and Stalin didn't go back to being a minor holdup guy. Once they get to be, you know, the champions of the people, they're living in mansions for the rest of their lives. And I somehow find that to be less than a coincidence, you know?
Bill, I first of all, how long did it take you to put this together?
I started writing it in September. I knew the history pretty well, and with that much data, really what I was trying to do was just kind of throw a net across this river of data and just stop the things that looked interesting to me that told the story of how it felt, you know, at that particular time, the little human elements. But you can't connect to it if you don't understand the human elements. And the first thing I had to do in the first episode was I had to show that the Soviet Union was a terror state and that the people on the east side of the Berlin Wall were more afraid of what was on their side of the wall than they were of what was on the other side. There's a building in Moscow right now called the Lubyanka. It's a beautiful building. It's made in the early 1900s. It was an office building, basically. And for the better part of 30 years, Glenn, people were kept in the dungeons in the bottom of this building. There's a toy store right across the street right now in modern-day Moscow. And 6 at a time, for year after year after year after year, people were lined up against the wall, shot in the back of the head by Czechists with revolvers. They're put on meat wagons, thrown into a truck, tarp put over them, arms and legs hanging out from the sides. That wasn't an accident. They wanted everybody to be afraid. And of all the stories I've heard and researched, the ones that Americans need to understand the most are the stories of people who live in Moscow during the times of these great terrors and purges. And they would be in their apartment complex. And the Cheka, or the secret police, always came around 2 in the morning. They'd hear the trucks pull up outside. And then they'd hear this creaky, creaky old elevator. And it would start going up. And it'd get closer and closer and closer to their floor. And when it finally passed their floor, they could sleep for 3 or 4 hours, wake up in the morning and find out who'd been taken away. And this, Bernie will say that this kind of thing is not going to happen in America. We want something like Sweden, but Sweden's socialism doesn't work because they're not making any new Swedes. They have to import Swedes. And the Swedes they import for their socialist programs are not really good Swedes. So it doesn't work anywhere. It's never worked anywhere. And for these guys to constantly just get away with papering over the mass murder, hundreds of millions of people murdered, in order for them to try out this philosophy so that losers can get a little power, that's just not something I'm willing to let them get away with.
Bill Whittle, thank you so much. This would have taken me a lot longer since September. I thought you would have worked on this at least a year. It is very thorough and very, very well done. Bill Whittle, it's number 5 on iTunes podcast. You can get it wherever you get your podcast. It is The Cold War, What We Saw.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.